Happy Advent! As we prepare to welcome Jesus once again into the world, we intentionally set aside time each day to listen, meditate, and talk to God. Preparing for Jesus involves much more than buying presents and organizing parties. The more we devote ourselves to learning about the world into which Jesus was born, the more deeply we will understand what it means to welcome Him into our world. Join us as we seek to welcome Jesus with our whole heart, mind, body, and strength this Advent season.
Welcome back to our Advent podcast, Pastor Jill Bergman, and I'm Rachel James here at First Lutheran. We're reading the first Advent in Palestine, and we are on our final chapter. Can you believe it?
We've made it all the way through.
Yes, and it's called Homeland, but Not a Home. It's about the Holy Family's return from Egypt, and it talks about them going to Nazareth. So one thing that I really love about how this author frames it is how we get a sense of history in the time. We started back with the Maccabees, and now we're after the time of the first Herod. And she brings up that if it wasn't one empire leading, it was another empire. If it wasn't one emperor conquering, it was another. And we see that all the way till today. So while they were in Egypt, Joseph had a third dream that says they might have been refugees there for a long time. We don't know that Herod, the Herod that he knew, had died. So now the divine instruction came to bring them back. But it wasn't bringing them back to peace and safety. Now there was another oppressor there. It's just never ending, is it?
Can you imagine having that dream?
No.
And just, I'm here because I'm afraid and I'm protecting my family. And now I'm being called to go back into the lion's den. How much courage that must have taken. I wonder what Mary thought, you know?
Absolutely.
It's like, Joseph, are you sure?
Joseph. I can imagine that.
But I mean, they learned to trust God. So
they did. Yeah. So it says on page 185 that Joseph took his family back home, but now Herod's son was ruling in Bethlehem, and he was already garnering a reputation for ruthlessness akin to that of his father. Archaeologists had killed other people. So they ended up going to a different place than their hometown. We learn at the beginning of the story that they went to Bethlehem, and now they're going home to Nazareth in Galilee. And it says on page 167, as the Holy Family made their way north for a new start in the small town of Nazareth, maybe it felt like they were living as ever displaced people, unable to go to their preferred home. I just think of that term ever displaced because so many people, whether it's from climate change, changing their home's not there anymore. I think about people of island nations where the shores are being eroded and they have no home, or whether it's due to violence in their home country, like we hear about the people in Gaza where their homes are bombed. And even if the conflict ends today and they go back home, it's different.
Right. And what does it even mean to have your home? That's something I think about a lot. And I mean, it could be as simple and complex as even the relationships in your family. Maybe you have a house you could go to, but it's not safe or you're not welcome there. And so you will always feel somewhat displaced, somewhat wandering, that you're not where you belong or where you think you belong. You're not welcome.
That is such a real feeling. And I think for many of us, as we're getting close to Christmas, we have this longing to go home. But sometimes, you know, my parents have moved since I was in high school. Where they live now is their home, but I never lived there. So it doesn't feel like going home, really.
Right. And you're a different person, too. I remember my hometown is Albert Lea, and I had a certain feeling when I was growing up, a feeling where I was protected and I was safe and everybody did everything for me, you know, because I was a little kid. And now when I go back, I still have the burdens of being the adult. And even though my mom would love to do my laundry, I don't want her to.
No.
And I'm going to have to go home and take care of my other things where I live now. And it feels different. It just feels different.
Absolutely. Yeah. And that same feeling, Mary and Joseph and Jesus definitely had that feeling. Mm-hmm. This this chapter also talks about how, like you said, about growing up. For part of his childhood, Jesus grew up without Joseph. We don't know if he died or what happened, but Joseph wasn't there. So now Jesus and Mary are in their homeland, their home country, but a different city. Without Joseph, things were very different, I'm sure. And it talks about how the landscape was probably filled with reminders of people that had been gone. And we all feel that. And we feel that pain. And Jesus was incarnated to know that too. He understood our trauma, our loss, and still lived in Galilee and brought God's good news.
Right. And another thing that really opened up scripture to me in this chapter was how the author helped me understand the Beatitudes a little bit better. So that is later on. Jesus is an adult and he's preaching Sermon on the Mount, but she talks about some of Jesus' character that helped me understand the Beatitudes. Mm-hmm. And on the bottom of page 176, the paragraph begins, "The meekness Jesus evoked wasn't about genteel people keeping Caesar's peace. The meek were the survivors of brutal empires and their economies. They were those with no resources to relocate, no option but to remain under dire circumstances." When I read the Beatitudes and I learn about the meek, I think about the really shy people.
Right.
Just the little shy people that don't want their voices to be raised. But this is helping me understand that Jesus' meekness is about people that have just been abused. They've been abused by a whole system. She goes on to say, "So it was the meek who survived despite the trauma inflicted by the empire. And in fact, the meek outlasted empires time and time again." So when Jesus is in the Beatitudes talking about the meek, he's talking about these people who were survivors.
Absolutely.
They are the ones that maybe couldn't change negative circumstances, right, but they could survive it. And that helped me think about Jesus too. The negativity against him is nearly overwhelming.
Absolutely.
Since his birth. Since his conception.
That's right. The whole story. And to this day, the idea of different traumas happening in that land and in that place and in throughout Jesus's life, and what kind of leader, how that informs our reading of the gospel now. When we're hearing Jesus talk about bringing peace, that's really countercultural.
Right.
Yeah.
And what he had to live through is very cultural. Mm-hmm. He came from what most of the people were experiencing. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, we talk about the story of Advent, and we have covered now, hopefully, the story in a new way.
Yes, absolutely. For me, it's been so eye-opening and new every year.
Right. And hearing about these different characters and what they went through and what it meant to be born in Palestine to those specific parents at that specific time has a new meaning for me. And the book is getting wrapped up by the author saying, "This is the story of Advent. We join Jesus as incarnations of God's peace on this earth for however long it takes."
It seems like it's always, we can see the idea of what peace would look like. We can envision peace, and it's never quite there until the day when Jesus comes again, because we're living in this time, like this chapter says, a homeland but not a home, and already but not yet. Jesus has come, and yet we're waiting again this Advent.
Yes. And we think about all the things we have to wait for and how it just grinds on you over time. And I think about people who might be sick or they need surgery, and they're waiting, and they hope that there's an end point. You know, I need that. When I'm waiting and waiting, I just want to know where the end is so I can plan my emotions for that. But we don't know when the end is.
No.
We know it's going to be a good one, but we don't know when it is. But we do know that we are here on purpose.
That's right.
And we are meant at this time to enact God's peace however we can. And we might get to see the happy ending, we might not, but we are an important part of it. So we have been incarnated, just like Jesus was incarnated, to be bringers of peace this Advent season and beyond.
Awesome.
So let's wrap up this book study with a prayer. Lord Jesus, we know that you have called us to this place and this time, just as you were called to a specific place and time. And as your place and time were not perfect, neither is ours. But that doesn't mean we're hopeless. So, Lord, continue to speak to us, whether it's through dreams or through angels or through other people. Help us to hear your voice and instruct us the way we should go to help bring about this peace that you are introducing the world to. We pray this in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen. Well, thank you for joining us, and may everybody who participated in this book study and podcast series be blessed, and I hope that this Christmas is more meaningful to you from here on out.
Amen.
Amen. Bye. Thank you. Thank you for joining Rachel and me as we explored the world into which Jesus was born and what that means for us today. I hope you enjoyed reading the book, The First Advent in Palestine by Kelly Nicandia, and were moved by the stories she told. If you haven't gotten a copy for yourself, I hope this conversation inspires you to pick one up. More than anything, though, I hope our discussions, meditations, and scripture readings opened your senses a little bit wider so you might witness Jesus' power in new ways all around you. We want to thank our producer, Drew Stolba, for recording and editing these podcasts. May the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing to you, O Lord, our Rock and Redeemer. Amen. Merry Christmas!